Welcome to the Arts and Antique Radio Show, where your host, nationally recognized certified appraiser Elizabeth Stewart, Santa Barbara's treasure sleuth, will help you put a value on the treasures in your own home.
Every time it rains, pennies from heaven. Don't you know each cloud contains pennies from heaven?
So let's find out. How valuable is it?
Hello, 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 Santa Barbara, it's your chantress of everything valuable and beautiful, Elizabeth Stewart. I am joined today by Dr. Peter Brill, and fascinating because, there's a couple of intersections here, Peter. First of all, I was intrigued to know that you were starting an exhibition, and you've got a call for artists out right now. And the exhibition is called Symbiosis or Schism, the AI Human Odyssey. And I was thinking, I wonder, is Dr. Brill going to be pro-AI, against AI? Is he going to be supportive of the new thoughts? And he's sort of throwing it open to see, now this is the most wonderful take on this. He's throwing it open to say, look, the future has always been looked at with a very relevant eye by the artists of the community. So he's not taking a stance one way or the other, but he's saying, let's look at the works of those with gifted vision, is kind of what he's saying in the press release about this. And he's saying this may be like the Oracle of Delphi in obscurity, or it may be clear and persuasive. And I thought, oh, this is amazing. So he's sort of like, okay, because there's so much debate one way or the other. And, you know, Dr. Brill, just this morning on NPR, they had a discussion that was very much against AI, and I thought, well, you know, what difference does it really make? It's here. And tell us about how did this come to be? How did you think about this? Tell us about the theme itself of the exhibition forthcoming. And by the way, artists, if you are an artist and you're listening, just very quickly, put these things in your mind. The exhibition is an opportunity for those of us in the Santa Barbara and Ventura counties, encouraging artists who are mindfully experimenting with AI, raising consciousness and participation involvement in the AI community, and using art to highlight concerns about AI and suggest plans going forward. And if your art involves anything like this or could involve something like this, then this is an exhibition you should see if you can join. And by the way, there are cash prizes. So is AI a tool? I'm going to put it to Dr. Brill. Is AI a tool for created synergy in your mind, or a force of division?
That's a wonderful, wonderful question. And Elizabeth, it's nice to see you again.
And thank you.
You gave me about six questions there, so I'll try to take one, and if I forget the rest, you remind me. But the way I got into this was, I was on your show just a month or two ago.
Yeah, Beautiful Journey.
Beautiful Journey, which was very successful opening, and a lot of people have seen it, and thank you for having us on. But in the process of the year and a couple of months of doing that, we started using AI to help us with pieces of it. And because the time and the cost was going to be too great to not use AI. So it helped us complete it. And I got very interested in AI. Now, obviously, artists, in fact, all of us, anybody working these days, is very concerned about their jobs and their future. And artists especially, because it's a real threat. And then there's all the intellectual property and copyright issues. And but the question is, Oriana, who works with me, hates it when I use this expression because she thinks it's insulting to people. But as I say, only a fool resists the inevitable. Now, why do I say that? If something's inevitable and you resist it, you're going to spend a lot of energy and time and effort, and it's going to happen anyway. And so for artists, you know, our hope is to prepare the artistic world for what's going to come anyway. It's coming very fast, and it's going to come anyway. And our hope is by creating, and it's not a contest, we're giving out grants to up to $5,000 for selected works in the show. But we're hoping by creating a massive dialogue about AI and art that we can raise the consciousness of artists and they can become part of the dialogue and help shape the future of AI and art rather than be a passive victim.
Well, I was reflecting on, you know, some of the concerns that I'm hearing and the predictions that I'm hearing. And it's interesting because it's almost like science fiction. You know, it's like this prediction. I mean, we get, you know, the Jules Verne predictive analogies kind of coming forward. And some of these are very scary. And I think about when we started to think about a super machine in our culture that actually could be mimicking human thought. And you bring up the ancient Greek, you know, the Oracle of Delphi, you know, as a being that is beyond human thought. And then I was thinking about the 1970s movie, The Demon Seed. Are you familiar with that?
No, that one I'm not.
But. Okay, 1970s, that's when this movie was done, and it has to do with a super intelligent machine. And that's what the title is, The Demon Seed. And I was thinking about the power of art to sort of, what is it, to see into the collective unconscious and see, oh, okay, this is coming. So can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. Well, not only it's the core of our process for the workshop. We're asking people to look at the, you know, AI will naturally be a reflection of the human mind because we'll have invented it. And there's dark and light in the human consciousness, and it will come out both in threat and opportunity through AI, dark and light. And we're asking people to reflect that in their work, both now and 5, 10, 20 years in the future. And that, we think, will give us a intuitive view into the future of this integration of human and machine. And by the way, if I could just do a slight ask for people, anybody who's interested in getting into this contest, if they'll just go to Peter Brill, PETERBRILL.net, you can find a way to find the way you can submit to a piece of art into this show. And we'll then go through and select the ones we want to be part of it. So just a little, but you're right. Look at the Terminator. Terminator was a movie that scared us all, right? And so, yeah, a threat and opportunity. We're actually going to have two speakers when we do the show, one speaking about who runs the operation for the best research institution about the future of unfolding AI, including its threats, and another one who's an artist who uses AI for the environment in a positive way. So we're going to have the two sides presented as speeches. Even.
So I did something interesting, I think, that you'll find interesting, Dr. Brill. And I actually asked ChatGPT a question about our interview today. And I asked ChatGPT, I said, well, I'm a radio host. It's an art-centered talk show. I'm interviewing a patron of the arts. who put out a call for artists to submit art, and the title of the show is To Be Symbiosis or Schism, Impact of Artificial Intelligence in Art. What are the five questions you would suggest, dear ChatGPT, that
Wonderful.
I could ask him? Okay, and when we get back from the break, it's interesting that AI generated five specific questions that were directed probably more interestingly than I could direct questions to you. And it's fascinating. So here we have this tool, this important tool. And I thought I'd kind of turn the tables and have this be a little bit of a focal point. Hey, Richard, let's go to quick
break.
Yes,
Elizabeth.
Let's go to quick break. We get back from the break. I want to reintroduce Dr. Peter Brill and the concept that he's bringing to us, which is a call for artists to submit work. And of course, this is grantable work. So the grant's up to $5,000, to encourage artists to think clearly and insightfully and prophetically about AI. Very cool idea. Don't turn that down. Back in a minute. Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart. I have the honor of speaking with Dr. Peter Brill, and his foundation, the Brill Family Foundation, has set up a call for artists to actually think about and react to and create around our AI revolution, which we're currently in the midst of. And it's interesting because in the next 5 years, Dr. Brill's press release says should be an enlightening experience. And spearheading this is a call for artists to think about AI as a tool for creative synergy or a force of division or something in between. And I thought I would turn the tables on Dr. Brill and ask ChatGPT to prepare some questions regarding the intersection of artificial intelligence and art. So interesting, huh, Peter?
Yes, so, very. Yes. I can't wait for the questions.
Yeah. So the first question that it answered me, ChatGPT said, what inspired you, Dr. Brill, to create an exhibition centered on the theme of AI's impact on art? And how do you envision this dialogue unfolding through our artist submissions?
Well, that's wonderful. It's a great question. Can I use AI to answer?
Yeah, right. I think we would just substitute. Yeah, I know. It could go down that path, you know, easily. Yeah.
What art is the great bellwether of our society. You know, it's the foresight, it's the reflection of the reality at a deeper level, and always has been. If you think of the Industrial Revolution, how people painted blights on the landscape, smoke coming out of the smokestacks, but then also other scenes of what had been produced. You know, art has always been a reflection of that. And so my hope is that this art that comes in here will help deepen our awareness and promote an open dialogue about what's coming down the road here. Naturally, people are scared and artists are scared, but acting out of fear is the least healthy mechanism you can use.
Right. So, yeah. So to know what you're facing is to actually be part of the future in a way. So that was one. So what I did, Richard, was I asked ChatGPT to prepare some questions for Dr. Brill. It looked Dr. Brill up, apparently. And he looked the show up that he's proposing that he's going to do. And it actually must have looked at your background, Dr. Brill, because some of the questions, well, we'll get into that a little bit. But speaking of background, I neglected to introduce Dr. Brill properly. We learned from Beautiful Journey that he mounted a couple of months ago that he's very interested in collaborative art and producing together with artists and creative thinkers. His background is in medical field, psychiatry and mental health, and he founded and ran the Center for Study of Adult Development at the University of Pennsylvania, then joined and attended the faculty at Wharton School of Business there. He was an early pioneer in organizational behavior and development, and he started a couple of companies as well and increased organizational performance while increasing employee satisfaction, and then went into coaching also. An example included of his coaching 100 workshops designed to produce development for individual and managers. And then, you know, he is now getting on in his age, and so he founded a not-for-profit called the Third Age Foundation, focus on people around 50 and over who was in the third stage of life, and then started to write. Went a book that went viral, Finding Your J-Spot, Joy in Midlife and Beyond, and product of this thought process, and then a radio show called The Third Age, etc. And then, you know, as part of the ongoing development of Dr. Brill's thought process, he ran psychiatric consulting service at the University of Pennsylvania to deal with the emotional problems of the end of life, which led him into some spiritual ground as well.
Yeah.
And so that's that. Dr. Brill, I thought, let me ask ChatGPT to prepare some questions for you. And the questions that this tool prepared involve some of your past life, which is pretty fascinating because it took no time at all.
I know. It's amazing. Maybe that explains the robot that showed up at my door.
So here's a question that that ChatGPT is asking you through me, and must have found out that you have, like I just was saying, you have a lot of experience in organizational development and conflict mediation. It must have known that, because listen to the question that it's asking you now. The exhibition's title suggests a dichotomy between collaboration and conflict. Amazing. How do you personally perceive AI's role in the creative process? Do you see it as a symbiotic partner, a disruptive force, or perhaps something more nuanced?
Yes, to all three. Yeah, right. I think it will be all of those. I think it will be incredibly destructive in society, because we're about a third to half the jobs will disappear, and they'll be replaced by other jobs. I think it in art, it's going to be mixed, because, for example, there are a lot of students that are coming up now who, if they don't learn about AI, will be obsolete, you know, and not be able to get work. And also for people that don't have technical skills but have good imaginations, or disabled, it'll open the door to them. But on the other hand, many of the people that now do graphics and other kinds of designs, you know, will probably not have the same kind of compensation or maybe jobs at all. So it's going to be mixed. And but it's always better when you're facing a complex future to try to prepare for it as early as possible, and to try to elucidate it as early as possible.
Yeah. So what you're making me think about is a scenario that we experienced here in the Central Coast. And I'll pull down this analogy for you. So you know I'm an appraiser, and part of what I do is I attempt to assign market value to works of art, and that's got, both pros and cons if you're an artist looking at someone like me. But let's consider a competition. So, people will be competing to be in the show, your show that you're doing, Symbiosis or Schism. And in that competition, let's think about a competition that happened a while back when I, about 20 years ago, when I first came to Santa Barbara. There was a wine tasting event, and someone was giving awards for, obviously the best Cabernet, et cetera, et cetera. And it was a blind tasting, and there was a bottle of French Cabernet against a California Cabernet. And it was drama when the California wine won.
I remember
Yes.
that.
Now, if I'm appraising art without knowing the nature of the creator of the art, how do I approach value in that case?
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. I
Yes.
wouldn't have any, I would have no way to answer that.
Well, that's sort of what you were saying about the art itself and the artist, being pushed out of the, say, let's design field, for example. Some
Yeah.
of the, yeah. And so, will it crash the human artist is the question.
And the answer is no. Art will always exist. Art will rise to a new level. Art will at they will, with new tools, think of what photography did to art. Photography came in as a major threat to art, especially to portrait artists. But we still have portrait artists. But people got better. They got much, much better because they could see a real reflection in a photograph of where the light and the shape and perspective much more clearly. And so it rose to a new level. But then new kinds of arts emerged. Impressionistic art and then cubism and all kinds of other art evolved in reaction to it. So nothing will stop art.
So I want to bring that into clearer focus and give you a couple of examples. And I think about this because digital artists like David Hockney, they've been using AI tools for decades, and Adobe Photoshop makes
Sure.
algorithmic decisions regards blending of colors, for example.
Yeah.
And this started back in the 80s, maybe earlier than that. So I don't know if this is AI, is it coming to a head as a paradigm change, Dr. Brill,
Yes.
or is this a process?
Both. But it will be a paradigm change where this will rise very, very quick. The rate of change is accelerating. Yeah. And so this will accelerate it even faster, and we'll be in a world of new kinds of consciousness and new kinds of art that we can't even imagine at this moment. As I
Well,
say, things are hard to predict, especially the future.
as you say that it may open the door to new categories, new taxonomy. What you were talking about the portraits that were done, photographs. I'm thinking of Julia Cameron in the late 19th century
Yeah.
as she's a photographic portrait artist making very interesting sort of ethereal photos of her sitters. And so what that means is now photography gets pushed a little bit more into the realist genre and away from the surreal impressionist kind of feel. And then now it becomes a tool for explaining reality as opposed to explaining imaginative reality. So,
Maybe we should have you lecture in our opening.
Well, I love this because this has come up in my world so often when people are so resistant. And I think about, at one point, Dr. Brill, oil paint was a technology, a new
Exactly.
technology.
Yeah. It was brand new when you could get oil in a tube instead of having to mix the dyes, and they decayed very quickly, and new kinds of colors came in, and you know, it's always changing.
So it opened the door then to a new, like I said, a new division of the classification of what is color. So yeah,
but I just give a shout out to the show. You can find the show because we're accepting people's submissions for about the next 6 or 8 weeks. It's at peterbrill.net, and then it just sells the art show, and you just click there, and then it has the actual application. So you can, we're calling out to artists in every way we can to let everybody know about the show and that they can submit.
So again, the idea is that we are accepting, or Dr. Brill's Family Foundation is accepting anything having to do in an intelligent and insightful way with symbiosis or schism, the AI human odyssey. And I love that it's the title of the show is going to be centered around this very old word, odyssey. And it makes me think about, you know, the Odysseus and the kind of challenges.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if you're an artist out there and you're listening and you are interested in exploring, the foundation will be giving grants up to $5,000 for this exploration. And then the show will be mounted as well in the fall.
Yes.
So, yeah. So this is a real opportunity. And like it or not, we're entering a new type of creative world. So this is an important watershed for us. And as an artist, you'd be interested, I think, in participating for sure. And when we get back from the break, furthermore, Dr. Brill, I asked ChatGPT if the questions, just now I asked, if the questions that ChatGPT generated to ask you for this show had been elicited by insights into your background. And so, because I was curious, some of the questions, you know, obviously had to do so much with how I think about your attitude about art and creativity in general, especially since we did a brilliant journey together on this program. Mm-hmm. And I asked if ChatGPT had channeled Dr. Brill's voice. And it answered me, yes, I'm thinking of a voice that's curious, philosophical, and deeply reflective on the role of art in society.
Well, bless you, AI.
How about that? Isn't that something else? I know. It's amazing, huh? So when we get back from the break, we'll talk a little further about the show and some of the revolutionary things that Dr. Brill is hoping will come of the show. And artists, if you're out there and you're listening, this is a call for submissions. Foundation will be doing prizes as well, grant making, up to $5,000. So it's a great opportunity. And then the show will be held in the fall. But the submissions are going on right now for the next 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So get your creative juices going. Let's go to quick break, Richard. Get back from the break. I want to ask Dr. Brill some of the questions that I asked ChatGPT in his voice to answer. How about that? Don't turn that down. Back in a minute.
Thank you.
Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart, and I'm talking with Dr. Peter Brill, who is mounting a show, and this is a call to artists. Basically, we are thinking about an AI art show, a glimpse into the future, and brought to us by the Brill Family Foundation. And Peter has wisely thought, you know, AI is going to be a part of the creative process, like it or not. So let's face it, and let's do something about it. Let's mount a show. The show is going to be called Symbiosis or Schism, the AI Human Odyssey. And well chosen, the word odyssey, I think. What I did was, just so dear listener, bring you up to speed, Dr. Brill, I thought I'd turn the tables on him and ask ChatGPT if that tool would prepare some questions regards the show that Dr. Brill is mounting. And the tool actually looked into Dr. Brill's background enough that I got the hint when some of the questions had to do with collaboration and conflict, because that was a field that Dr. Brill was very active in for many, many years. And so I thought, okay, during the break, let me just quickly ask it again, how much Dr. Brill's personality via the LinkedIn pages and also the websites, the foundation's work, how much his motivations and perspectives actually had to do with the kind of questions. And it answered me, absolutely, channeling Dr. Brill's voice. It is curious, philosophical, deeply reflective on the role of art in society. And I asked the tool if the tool could predict how Dr. Brill would answer some of the questions that it had posed in a couple of hours ago.
Yeah.
And so here's how Dr. Brill would answer a question. Do you want to hear?
I definitely.
Yeah,
but I just want to note, I've already been replaced by a machine.
Okay, so how might AGI shift the way artists use AI in their work? So AGI is artificial general intelligence. Use AI in their work, especially as these tools begin to lead their own creative direction. How would Dr. Brill answer that question? Let's have Dr. Brill answer that, and then I'll tell you.
Oh, no, you're going to compare me against the machine. Oh, boy, this is a real test. Well, general intelligence is going to be, when we reach that level, is going to be, is already, what some people say we're there, but it certainly is going to greatly increase our complexity and insight into the things that art represents. So it'll be a tremendous addition in terms of the impact of art. That's what I would say. What does it say?
Yeah, so Richard, what I'm saying to ChatGPT is, Dr. Brill, you've looked into Dr. Brill enough that I can sense that you have channeled Dr. Brill's voice in some way. And it answered yes. And so I said, well, how would you answer some of the questions you've put to Dr. Brill if you were Dr. Brill? Okay. So this is Dr. So yeah, so Dr. Well, yeah, I mean, this is what this show is about, is celebrating the opening of a show, that Symbiosis or Schism. Mm-hmm. So I thought, okay, let's play the devil's advocate. So Dr. Brill just answered the question, how might AGI shift the way artists use AI in their work, especially as the tools begin to lead their own creative direction? And Dr. Brill answered, the shift will be momentous. It will be important. And it will be a new door opening, more or less, is what I got from Dr. Brill's answer. So ChatGPT answered in Dr. Brill's voice this way. Mm-hmm. The shift will be monumental. Uh-huh. And right now, AI is reactive and it's an assistant. Yes, it's an assistant. But But the assistant always waits for the human spark. Once we cross into AGI, we're no longer dealing with tools, but with collaborators that initiate. And artists won't just ask questions, they will be asked.
Great answer.
Yeah. It will be less about execution and more about dialogue.
Oh, that's interesting. That's very interesting.
It will be like, well, this is in your
voice.
You
realize you're innovating right on air here?
Well, you know, I have to say the show's title is kind of led us to think this way.
Yeah. That's fascinating.
It's less about execution, more about dialogue, and then it answers this way as well in Dr. Brill's voice. This could be liberating, but it also demands a reevaluation of authorship, of ego, and intent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very what good.
Okay, let me bring that back to your training as a psychologist.
Psychiatrist.
Okay. What about this idea of a reevaluation of ego?
Yeah.
So ChatGPT knows that you had that training and that specifically is answering that way as your voice.
Well, that's wonderful. But the biggest problem, of course, we have is our own ego, which has its two sides. People do things, much of what we do is to enhance our own ego. We, you know, a person becomes great at sports because they want to be known as a great in sports, and they also want the feeling that they're great at that. And so ego is very important, but also ego is the biggest block to human communication. And so it's going to cause a reevaluation of those two ends of the spectrum, the enlargement and also the ability to surrender your ego to be able to absolutely let somebody else, you know. What you reach eventually is you realize that there's more than one right answer to things, that you don't have the right answer. You don't have the one right way. And when you finally get to that, what we call the autonomous stage of ego development, you can really accept that other people have good ideas and right ways also. You're getting a little bit beyond your own ego. And what they're saying, what AI is saying, is this is going to push us in that direction. Very interesting. Very interesting thing you did, Elizabeth.
It wasn't my idea.
No, right. To put it in AI.
Now, listen, I've got another answer in Dr. Brill's voice. And it has to do with what you just commented on about this likely either enlarging or stripping of ego consciousness. And it brought you back, Dr. Brill, to the wine question. We both remember when the California wine won over the French wine. And so what if a totally mechanized version of something wins in, you know, the art that you're curating and judging for this show? What if the...
It can't, Elizabeth. Because of the way we structured it.
Okay, that's what I'm driving at. Yeah. So tell me the criterion. Are you using
people
to evaluate?
People have to tell us the steps. They have to tell us the steps that they took in AI. What did they put in? And if they're using some other software, they have to list that as part of their process. The second is they have to write up something that shows how whatever they've done reflects the theme that we're facing. So they can't just put a prompt in there and then submit it and have it expect to get anywhere.
Okay, so the criteria is that the artist has to have an outline for you, a steps of what tools they used. In other words, trying to take it down to the simplest level. You would say, I enhanced this photo with this, et cetera, et cetera.
Or I did these four following. I put the prompt in the AI. Then I got back this a result. I put another prompt on top of that. Then I did another one on top of that, another one on top of that. I took the final result, took it through, Photoshop, did this with it so that they, we know what their contribution to the process was.
And Richard, are you giving us a sign we have to go to break?
No. What I find interesting about this conversation is the fact that you're asking AI a question as if you were Peter, and it's responding with those answers. And as I was sharing with Peter, and I had an interview not long ago with an author, and he uses AI to write his books, but he made a very clear distinction. He said that when you use AI to write a book, what AI pumps out, the transcript, if you will, or the manuscript, is your first draft. It is not the final book. And I use this analogy. AI gives you a lump of clay. You take that from AI, you put it on the potter's wheel, get your hands all wet, and then you start to form that lump of clay that AI has given you into the final shape that you want it in. And so when you talked about copyright and all of those issues in regards to what is produced by AI, that's how you can avoid that all. If it was Peter doing this, that belongs to Peter, because Peter created, if you will, the final version, not AI. It would be similar, although my guest disagreed with me, I think it would still be similar to if you had a ghost writer. Because even if you have a ghost writer, right, Peter, you'd still read it yourself to make sure it said what you wanted to have it say, because your name's going to be on it, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So I want to end the discussion by just giving another shout out that if you're an artist of any type out there and you are listening and you want to be a part of this wonderful new show that the Brill Family Foundation is going to mount, your window for submissions is the next 6 weeks or so. The show will be in the fall. And as you can hear from this conversation, the criteria is that you use AI, but explain how you use that tool and the various steps that would be the evaluation of a submission that might be coming to the foundation. What the foundation is looking for is an effective exploration of AI-human interaction in art, basically in a nutshell. And I want to end this by another comment that I asked ChatGPT if possibly ChatGPT would answer in Dr. Brill's voice about this idea of the narrative involved in the creative process. Because, of course, the show is entitled An Odyssey. And so I asked it about a narrative process and what Dr. Brill would answer about a narrative process if AI becomes the leader and the storyteller and the story that's told all at once. Well, Dr. Brill's answer, in looking at Dr. Brill's background, how do you think ChatGPT answered that?
Oh, no, come on. Give it to me first this time.
I will. You know, this is how it answered. Yeah. In a sense, humans will always be involved in the process, in the narrative, even if only as the original clockmakers who wound the gears of the story. But the question is less, do we need to be involved, and more, why should we be involved? If AI can produce emotionally resonant, technically flawless art without us, then what is the human's role? Dr. Brill's answer is that the answer lies not in production, but in purpose, in meaning, in context, in story.
Wow. I couldn't have said it any better. I don't even need to talk anymore.
see, to me, that would be the ideal, Peter. You open up ChatGPT or whatever AI you want, and you ask the question, but you'd preface it by saying, how would I, Peter Brill, answer this question?
And yeah, you put that learned something today. I learned something today. I could that you could do that. Wow.
Well, thank you, Dr. Brill. I appreciate it.
What an innovative show you've run today, Elizabeth. Anyway, peterbrill.net. peterbrill.net if you're interested in getting into the show.
And you should be. This is going to be a fantastic opportunity. And Dr. Brill, thank you for coming on.
Well, thank you.
And I appreciate everything you do for the community, from Beautiful Journey now to Symbiosis and Schism.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Elizabeth.
Bye, everybody.